The Spirit of Aviation, heard 24 hours a day, all year long on EAA Radio.
I'm Farid Gio. The final report by the NTSB involving a collision between a Piper Lance and a Eurocopter AS-350 that killed 9 people over the Hudson River in New York City last year called into question the effectiveness of the FAA's official traffic avoidance procedure known as See and Avoid. The board also called for increased use of onboard traffic alert systems in helicopters. Both aircraft involved in the collision had onboard traffic alert systems, but were not in use. I talked with sport aviation columnist Max Trescott about what the NTSB finding means for See and Avoid, and if more aircraft will be required to install and use traffic alert systems.
Well, it was a confluence of a number of factors. Well, the primary responsibility that the NTSB kind of laid out was the failure of the pilots to see and avoid. Now, frankly, the helicopter was not in a position for the last 32 seconds to see the aircraft, which overtook it. The pilot of the aircraft was not in a position to clearly see the helicopter until the last minute, because the helicopter would have been against the background of all of the buildings. So both pilots were really very challenged in their ability to successfully use this see and avoid. But that was then compounded by a controller who was talking on the telephone at the time with a personal phone call as he handed the pilot off of the Saratoga to the Newark Tower. Unfortunately, he missed that the Saratoga pilot read back the wrong frequency, which then delayed him getting follow-up advisories from the tower. So there were a number of things that conspired to make this happen, and the NTSB has come out with a number of recommendations since then.
NTSB Chairman Deborah Hirschman said this collision could have been prevented. While traffic alerts go a long way in helping pilots see and avoid other aircraft, these technologies are not in and of themselves enough to keep us safe. You know, obviously there's pilot error, and then the controller was distracted, but it looks like the NTSB is kind of opening the door towards this concept of see and avoid, and that it might be a little bit flawed.
I have to tell you, I've always thought that see and avoid should be called pray and hope. Because I think there are tremendous limitations to it, and I just don't think that it's fully adequate. But then I live in a very populated area in the San Francisco area. I'm constantly seeing traffic, and every once in a while it comes a little closer than I would have liked. So I think they have a real point there. The other thing that came out in the report was that both aircraft apparently were equipped with traffic avoidance devices, and yet neither of the pilots used them properly to avoid the other aircraft. So there's no question that having some type of traffic awareness system in your airplane can help, but pilots have to use it properly if it's going to save them.
Since the accident, the FAA has changed the airspace over the Hudson and instituted new traffic procedures. Going back to what the NTSB said about see and avoid, do you see in the future them maybe starting to advocate for required traffic avoidance systems in all aircraft?
Well, certainly ADS-B is one step in that direction. By 2020, all aircraft owners that expect to operate above 10,000 feet or within enhanced areas such as Class Bs, Class Charlies, and so on are going to be required to have ADS-B. So that's going to help to some extent. I think the NTSB and FAA are probably going to continue to look at ways we can use technology to help aircraft stay separated from each other.
Right now, we still have pray and hope or see and avoid. What other things can pilots do to mitigate the dangers, especially in high traffic areas?
Well, let's talk just specifically about the Hudson River. There are new charts available. People can download those from the FAA. The FAA also has a new training program out at faasafety.gov for flying in that particular airspace. So you can just search on New York City Special Flight Rules Area and find their training course for there. They've also set up new rules to help separate pilots in that area. Pilots transitioning down the river have to stay below 140 knots. They've got to have their anti-collision lights on. They now have to self-announce their position, which wasn't always required in the past. They're also now required to fly along the right side of the river, which means if you're southbound, you're on the west side, northbound along the east side. You know, for many years, I used to live in the New York area, and most pilots did it that way, but it wasn't required, and so they've now mandated that. So, there are things which are being done to try and improve that particular area. In other areas, if you're not flying in that particular part of the country, I always encourage pilots to identify local hotspots. We have one in the San Francisco area right by the Sunol Pass, where a lot of pilots pass either east-west as they're coming to and from Palo Alto and San Carlos, or north-south as they're transitioning from Hayward to Reed Hillview and San Jose. So if people know where the high-traffic areas are in their area, they need to really be particularly alert. And then considering add some type of device to your aircraft, whether it's a MODES transponder, a PCAS, or a TAS-type system. Any of these things can help you spot traffic.
Max, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
You're listening to EAA Radio.